or about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a moment. We invite you to look at this time with us in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Again, Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra and the name of the other Pua. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, we thank you for your word, the power, the wisdom, the grace, the counsel that comes from your word. And Lord, thank you for the example of these two brave women, Shipra and Pua, who were really stand as role models, not only for their people of that time, but for the people of God for all times, knowing that you call us to courageously and righteously stand up for what's right, that which honors you, that which lines up with your word. Help us, Lord, to be courageous in the way we stand for truth, stand up for light, and stand up for your word in this day and time and in our culture today as well. And thank you for the opportunity for us to stand up and be ambassadors who stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and stand for life as well. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We want to remind you once again that we're in the midst of our national Truth for Youth Bible Week. Help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teenagers and teens in our culture. American Family Radio and Revival Fires International invite you to help us get the Word of God into our nation's public schools. One free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student in a household between the ages of 13 to 18 who promise to pass it along to a friend in school. The goal is to help get the Word of God back into the public schools, as we've stated. And the Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament, but it also includes full-color comics that present the gospel and moral truths through comic book fashion. And so thousands of young people have received Christ, almost over 25,000 young people over the last 15 years as a result of this project going forward. So if you want to get involved, we ask that you please do that. Our goal this year is to help get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teenagers. Parents can order the Bibles on behalf of their son or daughter, or a teen can get one themselves, and you can just order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. Two ways to get the free Bible are, one, you visit online, revivalfires.com, or you can simply call 1-800-733-4737. Again, that's 1-800-733-4737. And once again, that website is revivalfires.com. Please get involved and help us give away thousands of free Bibles to our teens in public schools. We're grateful today to have as our phone guest today Ms. Mary Chapman. Mary is a part of CareNet. She's on staff with CareNet, which is a national ministry to pregnancy clinics that serves pregnancy clinics in all over the nation. And we're grateful to have Mary with us today. Mary, how are you?
I'm fine, Pastor Parker. Thank you for having me on.
Good to have you on once again. And you were on with us, actually it's been, I think, a couple years, and actually you were in a different place at that time, but we're grateful to have you to come on and share about the work, the great work of CareNet. So if you would introduce our listeners to the ministry of CareNet and tell them what the work and the mission of CareNet is.
Well, Pastor Parker, CareNet is an affiliate, a group of over 1,100 pregnancy centers that are spread out around the nation And we are committed to creating a culture where women and men faced with these pregnancy decisions. In times gone by, our listeners might remember we used to use the term crisis pregnancies. We don't use that term anymore. We use the term pregnancy decision because an unplanned pregnancy is not necessarily a crisis in the eyes of God, even though the individual involved in the situation may feel that it is a crisis. And that makes the work of Pregnancy Center so important because we are committed to transforming lives by the gospel of Jesus Christ so that women and men facing these pregnancy decisions can be empowered to choose life for their unborn children and abundant life for their families. And all CareNet affiliates sign statements of faith. They are evangelical. They stand for the tenets of the Christian faith and support the work of the gospel.
Okay, okay. And you know, Mary, I think of this, that I've been a pastor for many years, and one of the tragedies that I sometimes see is sometimes you run into individual believers or even pastors that really don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is. And it's so helpful for believers to understand that these are wonderful places of ministry where they embrace and come alongside women, as you said, find themselves pregnant at a unique time in their life, and sometimes not the most convenient time in their lives, but the fact is they come alongside and minister them in wonderful ways, and all the services are free. And so it's good for, in fact, I want to encourage every single listener, if you don't know where the closest pregnancy clinic is in your community, you need to find out where it is. Find out where it is and let it be known at your local church, though, because sooner or later, churches will need to know where to refer women who find themselves in a difficult spot when it comes to pregnancy. So it's good for people to know what the great work is. So, and tell me again, what is your title there at CareNet, Mary?
Well, Pastor Parker, my title is Director of Church Outreach and Engagement.
Okay.
Because in spite of the wonderful work that CareNet Pregnancy Centers have done, and if I may, you mentioned find out where your closest pregnancy center is, and anyone can go to our website at care-net.org, that's care, C-A-R-E, dash net, N-E-T as in Thomas, .org, and there's a link that says find a pregnancy center, and they just need to put in their zip code or even just the state, and it will come up with a list of the CareNet centers in their area. And if I can segue into my title, Director of Church Outreach and Engagement, the reason I am here and why this role was created is because, unfortunately, many pregnancy centers are located more in the suburban areas, but most, the vast majority of abortion centers are located in urban communities, and particularly the minority urban communities. And so my role is to engage the church, in particular the urban and African-American church, to be equipped to walk alongside those women and men who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies in order to introduce them to the gospel of Christ and to give them a cup of cold water, as it were, in the name of Christ.
Mm. And you know, Mary, you just alluded to this. A very helpful and important truth for believers to know, too, is that lots and lots of evangelism and discipleship and all kinds of ministry is happening every single day in many of these pregnancy clinics. I know of one clinic in the Mississippi Delta where the director is one. They only have one single employee. All the rest are volunteers. And she mentioned that over the years, over a 20-year period, they've seen 500 people give their lives to Christ through the work of that pregnancy clinic. And that's a lot more folks than a lot of churches can say.
Yes, that's true. And our president, Roland Warren, refers to something he calls the 1818 rule. Mm-hmm. Because as much help as the CareNet pregnancy centers are giving to women, men, and families, mm-hmm. if the individual does not encounter the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the 1818 rule says in 18 months, that woman will be back into a pregnancy center with another unplanned pregnancy, and mm-hmm. in 18 years, their daughter or son will also be in the same situation. So while we are ministering through pregnancy tests, through ultrasounds, through baby clothes and material supplies, sexual education, parenting education, Just hundreds of thousands of individuals are being ministered to this way. Our underlying purpose is to the transforming power of Jesus Christ, so that people will be empowered to choose life and choose abundant life for their families. What CareNet currently is discussing in all of our conversations is being pro-abundant life. Mm-hmm. And that is from John 10:10, that says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I, Jesus Christ, have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And we talk about abundant life in terms of allowing a woman to choose life and a young man to choose life, but also celebrating and supporting the efforts to spread the gospel, to promote marriage, fatherhood, and family, because the breakdown of the family and of marriage is at the root of much of these unplanned pregnancies.
That's right. That's right. Mary, would you take time now to pray for our listeners and pray for the church in this regard? There's such a need for the church to open its eyes and its heart to the great work pregnancy clinics are doing and embrace them, come alongside them, be supportive of them in any and all the ways God would have them to. Would you lift the church up in prayer at this time?
Certainly. Glorious King, we humble ourselves before you, and we acknowledge that you are sovereign and in control of all things. We read in your word that Christ has declared the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Upon this rock you will build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Father, unfortunately, our churches have not stood strong for life. Our churches have not experience the power of the gospel that calls them to respect and love and treasure and honor life in every form. For even though sinful behaviors result in pregnancies outside of marriage, the baby, that precious life, was given and ordained by you. And that is not the sin. The life of that unborn child is not a sin. The behavior that led to that, the life of that child, is a sin, but as we heard from your word, they were killing babies when Moses was born, they were killing babies when Jesus was born, and unfortunately, Father, there's so much darkness in our land now because of the sin of abortion. So we pray that you would energize your church, that you would raise up pastors and volunteers and ministry workers and those who themselves have suffered the pain of abortion in the past but have been healed by your grace, that they would raise up in your church and decide to stand for life and to reach out to others so that no one would have to go through the pain and loss of abortion like they did. I praise you and I thank you for, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to us. And Father, I know that you do not want abortion to go unchecked in the bride of Christ, in the church, because you want to present a bride to your son, Jesus Christ, who is perfect and spotless and without wrinkle. Yes. So we acknowledge your sovereign control. We ask for your grace, for your power
Thank you.
Go forward and to raise up your churches all across this nation, suburban, urban, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, every church, that you would raise up workers and prick the hearts of those who are in leadership to no longer ignore the problem of abortion in their own pews, and that you would bring about a revival in your church over the issue of life. I thank you and I praise you. And I stand by faith to proclaim a great victory in the coming years as you bring your church to its feet to stand and defend life in every form, at every step. And I praise you and I thank you in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Mary Chapman of the National Ministry CareNet. We'll be right back after this break.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable health care without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American, I am an American!
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Oh, yeah. Put your hands together one more time, huh? Why? Because our God, He is God. But you knew that already, though, didn't you? Huh? Right. Well, let me tell you. RC, can you help me?
Music of Fred Hammond, the song He's God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have as our guest, our phone guest today, Ms. Mary Chapman. She's the Director of Outreach and Engagement with CareNet, a national ministry to pregnancy clinics. Mary, would you tell our listeners a little bit more about CareNet as a whole and specifically about the Making Life Disciples outreach?
Well, CareNet as a whole has, as I said, 1,100 pregnancy centers. We are the largest Christian pregnancy center network in the U.S. We have a call center called Pregnancy Decision Line, where women and men and family members can call and get a counselor on the phone to discuss issues, to ask questions. We've actually, the team has actually had phone calls from a Planned Parenthood a bathroom where someone was afraid and needed additional information. So we want to meet people, make it available for them to reach us by phone, by on the internet, as well as I had mentioned, an easy way to find a pregnancy center is care-net.org, and you can put in your zip code and find a list of pregnancy centers in your zip code area in your state. However, there are approximately 2,500 pregnancy centers. That's CareNet's 1,100 plus other networks of pregnancy centers around the nation in North America. there are 350,000 churches. And every year for decades, there are a million or more abortions every single year. So just looking at the numbers, obviously, this is an issue that 2,500 pregnancy centers cannot necessarily hope to put a dent in that number alone. And the challenge is, I think, a strong point that an abortion provider can make to a woman who is frightened and feeling alone is, you can't do this the next 18 years alone. You can't do this by yourself. Mm-hmm. And a pregnancy center is structured to walk alongside a young woman or a young woman and young man for a year, maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so what do they do then? The church, on the other hand, has been called to do life-on-life discipleship for life. And that completely tears down that argument from an abortion provider to say, you can't do this for the next 18 years alone. Mm-hmm. And so while CareNet has centers, while CareNet has an internet presence, while CareNet has the call center, no one has the presence in any community, urban and suburban, every ethnic group, like the church. And so our president had a vision to awaken the church on the life issue and to equip the church to offer compassion, hope, help, and ongoing discipleship to women and men considering abortion. Mm-hmm. And that has resulted in CareNet beginning what we call the Church Initiative. So why do we need the Church Initiative? The Guttmacher Institute, which is Planned Parenthood's research arm, proudly declares in their latest research in the last 60 to 90 days, 54% of women who have abortions identify themselves as Christians. Now, the reason they promote that number is to say, see how well accepted we are in the Christian community. And they have a number of 54%, and that does not take into account the many women who didn't want to admit that they were Christians. Mm-hmm. In order to really understand if that number is valid, CareNet commissioned research of its own. And our research, unfortunately, showed that 4 out of 10 women were regularly attending church at the time of their abortion. So why do we need a church initiative? Because there are many women who are in the church on Sunday and in the abortion clinic on Monday. We did the research to be able to share with pastors and church leaders the hard evidence that there is something lacking in terms of not every church, but many churches are not equipped to make the church the first place that someone turns when they find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. If 4 out of 10 women in our survey, our national survey, if 4 out of 10 women were actively attending church at the time of their abortion, that means they found the abortion clinic a safer place to go than their church. Mm-hmm. And that cannot be. That absolutely is untenable. That's unacceptable. That breaks the heart of God, and it breaks our heart. And thus begins the church initiative. The first part was to do the research so that we had empirical data to support why we were doing the church initiative and to show the need. And the second part of the church initiative was to create a solution, because identifying a problem isn't helpful unless you're prepared to work on a solution. Mm-hmm. And that's where Making Life Disciples has come in. That is a DVD-based church curriculum that is completely out of the box. And what I mean is that it is a step-by-step instruction, how to prepare, how to talk to church leadership. We provide links to the research. We provide a video trailer that features Dr. Tony Evans. We are so thrilled that Dr. Evans has lent his voice and his on-screen appearance. He is in 2 of the training sessions that we have in our curriculum. And I can't ever forget hearing Dr. Evans say that an abortion is assaulting God, because an unborn child is made in the image of God. And so God has opened the floodgates of heaven to provide us with one of, if not the top, Christian production company in the nation that has done an extraordinary job with some of the top pro-life leaders and teachers and trainers. We have recrafted the best and the newest pregnancy center training. We've recrafted it for laypersons in the church. And it's a really high quality, not because it's my product, but because God just brought people to the table that were so far beyond our reach. But it's called Making Life Disciples. It's a DVD-based church curriculum that will equip individuals in the church to offer compassion, hope, and help, and discipleship to women and men who are considering abortion. Individuals in the church, it can be used as a small group Bible study, and this small group can be equipped as a life disciple. Then they can get in touch with a pregnancy center. They can wrap their arms around a young woman or a young couple who feels that they're alone and do life-on-life discipleship with them for the duration. Embrace them in the church. Bring them in for parenting training. Bring them in for ongoing discipleship. Be able to drive them to doctor's appointments, drive them to job interviews, help them go grocery shopping. These are things a pregnancy center cannot, because of liability issues, do for a young woman and a young man. Pregnancy centers can only do certain things to stay out of issues of liability, to maintain their focus, not to have mission drift. So Making Life Disciples makes it possible for our 350,000 churches, I know all of them won't, but to have a resource that on Saturday night, when someone finds out they're pregnant unexpectedly outside of the marriage bounds, they will know that they can go to their church and ask for help on Sunday morning, just like divorce care, just like grief share, just like the other support ministries that any church has. Making Life Disciples equips the church to be there, to let people know that there's no sin greater than the cross, to let people know that the church will embrace them with love and grace and compassion and forgiveness. Many years ago, when I had the opportunity to go to a service at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, Dr. Tony Evans's church, I experienced something I've never seen in any other church. There was a baby dedication service just for single mothers. They weren't included in all the other parents. It was a baby dedication service just for single mothers. And that is the kind of witness that our churches need to bring to these women who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies. And we don't want to see them in church on Sunday, in the abortion clinic on Monday. And this wonderful resource, Making Life Disciples, this DVD-based church curriculum, can raise up hundreds and thousands of churches that will take away that power of an abortion provider to say you can't do this alone, because they will no longer be alone. Christ Church will be there to walk with them.
That's powerful. That's powerful. We know, Mary, just a question. So basically, Making Life Disciples, it's a video-based curriculum someone could order. They could go online and just order this video packet of information that basically is a curriculum, correct?
Yes, it's if you go to care-net.org, that's the main CareNet site, and you can go directly to the store, or you can simply click on churches, because what we have done, we've put a step-by-step instruction. Any pastor who wants to stand for life can assign someone in his church to go online and get what they need. Any person who's a member of a congregation who wants to stand for life can go online, care-net.org, and get access. We've gone as far as to put a document on there that says how to make life disciples at your church, or making life disciples at your church, and it says get a meeting with church leadership. Here's the research. Here's an overview of the curriculum. Here's a video trailer. This is what you present to them, and help them to see the need, because it's in every church. In the actual curriculum, we have a leader's kit, what we call a leader's kit, and it comes with a four-disc DVD set and a leader's guide and copies of a magazine called Before You Decide, which is to help a young woman understand all of the medically accurate facts. It's done by millennials, for millennials. It's a cool-looking magazine for women, and will teach life disciples how to use this magazine to share the truth about abortion and adoption and parenting and life with a young woman. There's also a little brochure called Before She Decides for young men that can be used by life disciples to do the exact same thing. We even have a Before You Decide tablet app that is a digital version of some of the content from the curriculum that you can sit at a Starbucks and share over your tablet to show people a real in utero, in the womb, video in the womb of living babies at different stages to help people understand that it is truly a life from conception on. Mm-hmm. And so at care-net.org, you can either go on the church's link or you can go on the store. And the Making Life Disciples Leaders Kit contains everything a church would need to get started in creating a Making Life Disciples ministry.
Okay. Well, Mary, let me ask a different question. Like, if someone was to approach you and say, well, our church is involved in discipleship already, and plus we really don't want to get in politics, so why should we take a look at what you have to offer? How would you respond to that?
Well, unfortunately, the culture has deceived those in the church into believing that abortion is a political issue. Mm-hmm. Abortion is a spiritual issue. I love all that Dr. Evans shared as he was filming for the curriculum, as he talked about the gospel, as he addressed pastors, as he addressed the body of Christ and believers in general, where he said, an unborn baby is made in the image of God, and an abortion is an assault on God, is an assault on God. This is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. You can say the government's economy is a political issue. You can say the government's position on a lot of issues is a political issue, but this is a matter of life and death. And as I said, even though the behavior that leads to an unplanned pregnancy, sex outside of marriage, being intimate with individuals that are not that you're not married to, that is a sinful behavior out of sync with the will of God and out of sync for the best that He has for your life. The life of that unborn baby, God, if you believe God is sovereign, and He's sovereign whether you believe it or not, God is the initiator of every single life.
God is the
creator of life, and only God can create life. And so, regardless of the circumstances, when God creates life, that life is precious to Him. Mm-hmm. And our main verse for Making Life Disciples is Ephesians 2:10, which says that we are all God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, that we have been created to do work that God planned for us long ago. Mm-hmm. That work that God has planned involves the pastor of the church, the believers in the church, that unwed mother and that unwed father who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, and that work that God has planned for us to do long ago includes work that he's planned for that unborn baby to do. And we are all masterpieces. We are God's masterpieces. Every single human life is God's masterpiece. And for those of us who know the scripture, God doesn't want any of us to perish, and certainly not an unborn baby in the womb.
That's right. That's right. Well, Mary, I appreciate you sharing that perspective, because you're so correct, so right, that it's a Bible issue, it's a moral issue, it's a kingdom issue, and it's important for the church to approach it that way. And protecting babies, that's a huge issue that the church should be concerned about in our culture. And sadly, we think of in our culture, the huge numbers of babies that die on a regular basis is tragic, because the church should be the biggest champion for this cause. But we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Mary Chapman of CareNet. We'll be right back.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
coming next week on The Dwelling Place. Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
The Bible teaches us that love is more than an emotion. It's an action. But Dr. Tony Evans says that it's also a logo. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Designers have their trademarks or their logos. When you go shopping at the grocery store, you know what's on the inside of the bottle and the can because there is a label on the outside. Even each of us have our unique birthmarks or fingerprints that gives us a unique identity. God has a trademark, something for which He wishes to be known, something that is a unique identification mark of who He is and who belongs to Him. And the trademark of God Almighty is love. Love is the thing that God wants to be His logo, trademark, His identification. He wants to be known and seen and recognized for love. God does not just love, that's what He is. So he who loves has hooked into what God is. So God wants you to link up to who He is, and you do that, He says, when you love, seek the betterment of others, you are really positioning yourself to experiencing God at another level. God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him.
If you've never experienced what it's like to have a personal relationship with God, find out how you can by visiting TonyEvans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of J.J. Hairston and Youthful Praise, the song Resting on His Promise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have as our phone guest today here on the Hour of Intercession, Mary Chapman. She's the Director of Outreach and Engagement with the National Ministry CareNet. Now, Mary, in this last segment, I'd like to ask if you'll speak to this. You know, the fact is, tragically, again, you have lots of individuals, lots of men and women in the church, couples, families that, again, unless they've had direct dealings with a pregnancy clinic, lots of them really don't know what they are, what they do. And sadly, sometimes people even think pregnancy clinics do abortions. But Our culture is largely uneducated about the great work, often unless they've had direct dealings with them. But also that's true with lots of pastors. Many pastors, if you ask them, what do you think about the local pregnancy clinic, lots of them would respond, what is a pregnancy clinic? And that, too, is tragic, too. So there's such a need for the church to become educated about the great work these centers do. And so would you speak to that and also just why it's so important for every and anyone, any and everyone in the church to try to benefit from a curriculum like the curriculum of Making Life Disciples.
Well, first let me talk about pregnancy centers. And not every single pregnancy center is a CareNet center.
Right.
We do have 1,100, and we have quite a few. And what makes us distinct, I believe, is the vision we have for the culture and how we want to accomplish that. Our vision is built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how we want to accomplish that is to offer compassion, hope, and help to anyone considering abortion with realistic alternatives and Christ-centered support. And that's not only through our pregnancy centers, but through the church. As I said, there are far more churches than there are pregnancy centers. But the pregnancy centers, we've done a report here so that we can kind of quantify our impact in the community. Mm-hmm. And what many people don't think about is the fact that abortion centers, they get money from us, the taxpayers. Abortion centers get money from insurance companies
mm-hmm.
through their clients. Abortion centers also get money, cash money, and credit cards from the hands of the people that they do abortions for. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy centers, on the other hand, are completely free.
Mm-hmm.
CareNet centers are faith-based. We're community-supported nonprofit organizations, and we do an extraordinary work of alleviating the social service burdens that the local government is struggling under.
Mm-hmm.
We facilitate public health. We consult with medical professionals, and we do referrals for ongoing care. Our current president came from a dozen years at the National Fatherhood Initiative, and we are really focused on building healthy families
mm-hmm.
through education and support. One of the other misnomers about the pro-life movement is that it's a woman's issue. And the pro-choice movement, the pro-abortion people, say the same thing. This is not a women's issue. They have disconnected mothers from fathers and marriage from children. And all the research clearly shows that marriage is the answer to many of the social ills, but the pregnancy centers do free services.
Mm-hmm.
We have a record that shows in a single year alone, CareNet centers provided over $56 million worth of health and social services to over 348,000 women, men, and families.
Mm-hmm.
As much as pregnancy centers are doing, how much more if the church could connect things they're already doing? Food pantries, clothing closets, parenting training, marriage training, evangelism, discipleship, helping people find jobs. Many churches are already doing these things,
mm-hmm.
but they have not brought all of those services to bear on young women and men who are facing unplanned pregnancies because, unfortunately, they have not seen the church as a safe place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Making Life Disciples will raise up an army of the individuals who will no longer cower in the corner because they're afraid to talk about abortion with family, with their coworkers, with people in their communities. Because what I see is not only Life Disciples being trained in a church, you can have a Making Life Disciples ministry like Divorce Care or Grief Share in a church. So a church could train up, let's say, a half a dozen Life Disciples. But also a small group Bible study can go through the Making Life Disciples curriculum. And then not everybody in that small group will be called to do life-on-life discipleship with a young woman or a young man, but everybody in that small group can do something. They can drive someone to a doctor's appointment. They
mm-hmm.
can drive someone to a job interview. They can do what they can do, whatever God has called them to do. So in a single church, you can have dozens of life disciples. Now,
mm-hmm.
what that means is if the church has on their website a way for an individual to anonymously ask to be coupled with a life disciple, if the church has on their website a way for someone to anonymously find a local pregnancy center, individuals will then know that that church is standing for life in word from the pulpit and in deed. But also, everyone in that church who is trained as a life disciple when you're in a family gathering with people who are not believers, who are pro-abortion, you will know how to respond compassionately, lovingly, but accurately. When you're at work around the water cooler, when everybody is pro-abortion, you don't have to go back to your desk because you just don't know what to say. You're now equipped, and you can lovingly and accurately, with facts, address the truth of abortion in your workplace. When a neighbor, whether it's a neighborhood gathering, you now become empowered everywhere you go to be a life disciple, not just in the doors of the church. And interestingly enough, on top of the research that we have done, George Barna has an organization called American, it's called the American Culture, Faith, and Culture and Faith Institute. And just last year, George Barna's Institute released a study where they surveyed 22 social and political issues, government, military, homosexuality, etc. The number one issue that individuals in the church said they wanted biblical teaching about from the pulpit was abortion. And the top six issues that were identified in George Barna's research that people in church wanted to hear from their leaders biblical mandates about the issue, abortion was, again, number one. And what we've done on our website at care-net.org is we've made it as simple as possible for pastors, for laypersons in the church to get access to all the research I've referenced, to our research, to George Barner's research, to a brochure explaining Making Life Disciples. We even have life-affirming sermons and articles. There's one blog that when it went up, we had 10,000 views almost in a few days, Five Fears That Keep Pastors from Preaching About Abortion. And that was written by a former pastor who named Mark Campbell, who's now challenging the church and challenging notable pastors to make a stand for life in their congregations. So at care-net.org, if you click on churches, you have church blogs that you can share. You have Making Life Disciples resources that include the research and articles and sermons and videos that you can use to be equipped to go to your church leadership, that you can be equipped to go to your small group Bible study, that you can raise up life disciples in your church and in your adult communities and in your Bible studies so that you can all represent the life of Christ by making disciples for Christ in the context of meeting people in their place of need as they face unplanned pregnancies.
Amen. Amen. Well, Mary, would you take time now to pray for all of our listeners to really grasp their part in addressing this issue? You know, because I think of this, sometimes you have individuals or sometimes couples, maybe families that might think, well, I want to get involved, but I don't really know where to start. And I guess what you would say, too, is any individual or family or group, as well as a church, can get this curriculum, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. Okay. Would you pray for the listeners to really grasp the fact that each person can really get involved, if they would, in this very important endeavor?
Father God, you are speaking to all of us. You are always speaking, but sometimes we choose not to hear because what you say is hard. What you call us to is challenging. And yet, Father, we have to remember that Christ in the garden was our example. Not what I will, but what you will. This is what we want to be done. And so, Father, for those listeners, and they know who they are, that you have pricked their consciences, you have activated their hearts and their minds and their passion, they may be post-abortive. There may be abortion in their past. Many of them are healed. Many of them are not. But, Father, we pray that you would ask them to take that pain out of the darkness, bring it into your marvelous light, that they would lay that at the foot of the cross so that you could bring healing into their heart, soul, mind, that they would be the life disciple that steps up in their church, in their small group, and says, no more. We will not let our grandchildren and our children and our nieces and our nephews be aborted on the and destroyed on the altar of cultural PC. That we will stand for life, that we will stand for the lives that only you have the power to create. I pray for every listener that they would take 5 minutes to go to care-net.org and click on churches and read some of the blogs, look at the video trailer, look at some of the resources that are very easy to use and are completely free and access to everyone, that they would be the one. If we refuse to be the one person who will stand for truth, who will stand for light, then who will stand for us when they come for us? Father God, I pray that you would raise up an army from these listeners, that you would raise up the person that you have been speaking with through this entire broadcast, that you would give them the courage, give them the boldness just to go online, just to read a single blog, just to watch the video trailer, and let them ask with a true, sincere heart, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because just like we read of Isaiah, he said, the Lord asked, who would go for us, and who shall I send? And Isaiah said, send me, Lord. Here I am, send me. So I pray that hundreds of our listeners would declare, here I am, Lord. If you will equip me, I will go. Because this is our future, this is our life, and the church is the only entity that Christ declared the gates of hell cannot overcome. Not the pregnancy center, not the social club. Only Christ's church can stand against the evil of abortion. And we pray that you would pour out a mighty spirit upon our land, that you would raise up life disciples by the thousands, that our land would be healed as your people turn from our wicked ways of accepting abortion and allowing it to go on in our churches. I praise you and I thank you for the power that is yours and yours alone. And we declare right now a victory that we can't even imagine that you have ordained since before the foundation of the world. And we bow before you and we magnify your holy name. And we love you, Jesus, and we praise you. And we ask that you would use us and send us as Pastor Parker and as I have answered the call. May thousands more do so today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And Father, amen. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of CareNet, and thank you for this project, Making Life Disciples. Lord, bless this project indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Bless Mary. Give her wisdom and vision and direction as she moves forward in promoting it. And bless the ministry of CareNet, and more help it to be a ministry that is touching and building your kingdom mightily every day. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Mary, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Pastor Parker.
Appreciate your coming on and sharing about this. And I hope every listener will try to get involved, find out more about this curriculum, and get a hold of it. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.